And while you're turning there, I would like to ask you to pray for my mom and grandmother and my family. I've got an uncle that is in very declining health and is in palliative care right now. So please pray for them, especially my grandmother, that the Lord would be with them. And I've got Rebe's under the weather this morning as well, so please remember her. I want to continue our study here in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 4, and want to take up where we left off a couple of Sundays ago and looking at Moses' encounter with God here at the burning bush. Where we left off here, we had this dialogue between the Lord and Moses here at this burning bush, and Moses asking a couple of questions of God, and God giving these wonderful answers to these questions that Moses had, as he had been out in the wilderness for some 40 years tending to his father-in-law's flock, and as I mentioned previously, feeling like that God was just done with him and he was just destined to be there with that flock for the rest of his life. And we have God just giving that wonderful declaration of who he is, being the I Am. When Moses asks, who shall I say sent me? God says, tell them that the I am that I am, sent me. And what a wonderful declaration that is of the God that we serve, that was speaking about our God that always has been and always will be and is. He says that is the name that you give when they ask who sent you. And as we continue on here in Exodus chapter 4, we have had this continued dialogue with Moses and the Lord. And you would like to think after that great declaration that God made, never mind that God was speaking to Moses from this bush that was on fire but wasn't consumed, an incredible miracle in and of itself. God has just declared unto him his sovereign power, his eternality, and then he gives Moses these two signs that God was with him of the staff, if you remember, being cast down and turning into a serpent, and then Moses picking it back up and it becoming a staff again, and then the sign of him having the hand that he puts in his bosom and it coming out leprous and putting it back in and it coming back clean. We have this continued dialogue, and you would like to think after that, Moses would be ready to go. You'd like to think, well, the rest of Exodus chapter 4 is Moses saying, God, I'm ready to go and do whatever you've required of me. I'm gonna go wherever you send me. And Moses goes and does what God commands without any further discussion. Well, that's not what we read as we go on in Exodus chapter 4. And just in my notes, as I was studying over the last couple of weeks, I made a couple of comments about what we could title this passage of Scripture. So I title it Moses' Excuses or a Study of Disobedience. So what I want us to look at is this continued conversation with Moses and God, and I want us to see how Moses responds to God. And we're going to see that God's anger is kindled against Moses, but we also see the mercy of God. And I want to see how that applies to our lives as the Lord's people this morning. So Exodus chapter 4, we'll read verses 10 through 15. Verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And verse 14 says, The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. As I've mentioned before, as we've looked at the life of Moses, we see that we have two extremes in the personality or in the behavior of Moses. We remember when he was there in the household of Pharaoh, and he was blessed to see that the Hebrews were his brethren. And as in the book of Hebrews says, he chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God, and he defends these of the Hebrews, these that are his brethren. We see that he has one extreme, and as we mentioned several weeks ago, we have Moses getting out ahead of God in how he dealt with the Egyptian that was abusing the Hebrew. Remember, they were under bondage, and he sees one of his Hebrew brethren being beaten by the Egyptian, and he murders that Egyptian that beats the Hebrew and buries him and thinks that he has it covered up. But we note from God's word that that wasn't the case. It was known what he had done to this Egyptian. And at that point, we noted then that Moses was going in Moses' strength. He was doing things according to his preferences. He was trying to do the work of God based off of how he thought it should be done. And we noted how that is problematic in our lives when we go about trying to do God's work on our own terms. Boy, in our culture, in our world today, if we would just remember that we are not called to serve God on our own terms or based on our own preferences, but based on God's word, how much better off would we be? Moses was lifted up in pride. So he flees from Egypt and he's in the wilderness now. When we find him here in Exodus chapter 4 at the backside of the desert here, having this encounter with God. And we noted this time in the desert how it had humbled Moses. And God used that time in the backside of the desert to get Moses out of Moses. You know, we have to get ourselves out of the way in a lot of areas of our lives, and especially in the service of God. But he was working on getting Egypt out of Moses as well. But what we find here in this dialogue between Moses and the Lord is, we have this other extreme that Moses goes to, something else that we're guilty of. Oftentimes, we will use those things in our lives that we perceive as deficiencies or weaknesses or limitations or disabilities. Just to be frank with you this morning, a lot of times we will focus in on those things and be disobedient to the service of God, be disobedient to what he's called us to do. And I believe that's what we see here in this dialogue between Moses and the Lord. We had arrogant, prideful Moses early on as a young man. But now we have Moses. He's had a lot of time to think in this desert as he's gone about leading these sheep. And now he's focusing on the deficiencies that he has. And some of them, I believe, are perceived deficiencies. And he's using these issues in his life to be disobedient unto God, to literally say, Lord, I'm not the person to do what you have called me to do. So we see that. And I want you to understand that. We do that as God's people today. We can focus on the problems. We can focus on the challenges that we have in our lives. And in our flesh, we can become convinced that not even God himself can overcome the obstacles that we have before us in our lives. Do you have problems in your life? Do you have obstacles? Do you have deficiencies? Do you have things in your past that you've endured? Well, I want you to understand, by the time that we get to the end of this passage of Scripture, I want you to see God in all his glory, and our God is able to overcome whatever deficiencies we have in our lives. But we see here Moses, he was ready to he just wanted to keep on doing what he was doing because he thought the problems that I have in my life, the deficiencies, whether real or perceived, are greater than God can handle. And we do the same things. I want to ask you the question this morning. How many times are we unfaithful to God? How many times are we disobedient because we see our problems? We see our challenges that we have in life. We see our disappointments. We see our the tribulations, the trials, the tragedies that we've gone through as greater than God. And we just keep cruising on along and not doing the things that God would have us to do in our service here in this world. We see that. Going back, in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses asking this other question. You remember, he's already asked a couple of questions, as we've already mentioned. He asked, well, who am I? Who am I to do this job? And then he asked God, well, who are you? Well, what do I do if they don't believe me? The questions keep coming on, and now we see the excuses continue. Notice what it says here, and this is real interesting when you start digging into what Moses was saying was the hindrance here in doing what God had commanded him to do. Verse 10, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He says, God, I appreciate what you're saying here. Lord, Master, I know that you're the God that's sovereign over all. I see right here this great miracle that's going on right in front of me. I've seen these things that you have demonstrated by your power that I can do. But he says, I can't go and do the job that you have commanded me to do. And he says here, he says, I am not eloquent. He says, my speech is not great. He says, I am not a man of great speech. When I think of the word eloquent here, I always go back to the New Testament. Apollos was that minister that the Word of God very clearly says that he was this man that was eloquent. Apollos at first was not as doctrinally sound as he should have been, but he was this man that was eloquent. He was this man that could command the attention of an audience. Moses says I'm not that man. Now, I want us to think about that a little bit, because we touched on it when we were looking at Stephen's discourse in Acts chapter 7 several weeks ago. I want you to go back to what Stephen said about Moses, because this brings up a lot of questions. Now, I've always studied this, and a lot of commentators will say, well, Moses, he did have some sort of speech impediment. Maybe he had a stutter. Maybe he had some sort of impediment that made it difficult for him to speak. That's what I've always heard, and perhaps that's the case. But I want you to go back in Acts chapter 7, and by the inspiration of God, I want us to see what Stephen said about Moses. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. Now remember, Moses says to God, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm of a slow tongue. But Stephen says in verse 22 this. Notice, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. Now, this talks about Moses, and he was educated in the best equivalent to universities at that time. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was raised up in Pharaoh's household, and part of that was learning how to speak, not only learning how to speak to the average Egyptian on the street, but to speak to high officials, to speak to dignitaries from other nations. He probably had a master's course in public speaking and how to communicate with others. And it says he was mighty in words and in deeds. So we see that Stephen, by the inspiration of God, paints a different picture. Now, perhaps Moses had some sort of impediment. He had some sort of limitation in his speech. But I want to submit unto you that he, in his own mind, was looking at this and putting more emphasis on this and using it as an excuse to not do what God had commanded him to do. And he would continue this. If you go up a little bit in Exodus chapter 6, Moses in verse 12, it says, spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel, they've not hearkened unto me. How shall Pharaoh hear me? He says, who am of uncircumcised lips? Now, that's a different term. Now, he said in earlier that he's slow of speech and he's slow of tongue. Now he says, I have uncircumcised lips. He says it again towards the end of Exodus chapter 6. He says it again, that I am of uncircumcised lips. Now, he was saying here that I don't have the ability, I don't have the skill to articulate well enough to convince the children of Israel to follow me, nor to convince Pharaoh to let these people go. I want you to understand, he was focused far too much on the problem rather than looking to the God who had blessed so far, the God who had spoken to him, the God who had spoken through this bush that wasn't burned up by this fire, the God who had turned his staff into a serpent, the God who had made his leprous hand clean. He was focused on the problem. Lord, help us. Maybe he had a difficulty in speaking. But I want you to understand that God is far greater than any speech issue that he had. He was, and again, I think a lot of it, maybe it was just this, we can, psychologically, we can perceive things that aren't really there sometimes if we focus on our problems. We can make a problem a lot bigger than it really is, especially in light of the God that we serve. Not to minimize or dismiss any problems at all. But he says, no. He says, I am of uncircumcised lips. He says, I am of a slow tongue. He says, I am slow of speech. Essentially, he's going to say, go find somebody else to do it. Now, but I want you to look at this just a little bit further as we go back to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Because as he was talking with God, I think there was also a little bit of sarcasm and maybe some bitterness in there as well. Because notice what he says again in verse 10. He says unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. And then notice what he says. He says, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. So what he's saying here is that before I had this encounter with you, Lord, I had this issue. And now he says, even now that when you are speaking to me, since you've spoken to your servant, I still have this problem. Now, what it looks to me like is Moses saying that Lord, you've done all these things, but you've not done anything about my speech yet. It's almost like this bitterness or this anger. I want you to understand, when we continually focus on our problems and fail to focus on God who already has the solution to our problems, they become much bigger and we can become mired in whatever the challenges we have in life, and we can become bitter, we can become sarcastic to the point where we get angry about God in the midst of the situation. And again, he already has the answers and the solutions to all of the problems that we have. You see that? He said, Lord, you haven't changed anything since you've spoken unto me from this bush. And this is interesting. He said, you've done nothing about my speech. You've done nothing about my slow tongue. And he's talking to God. He said, I'm not a good speaker, God. Now, this is interesting to me. And maybe this is just my weird sense of humor, but we have Moses speaking to God about his inability to speak. he's speaking to the one that we're going to see is going to speak out here in just a minute. This created man's mouth, created the tongue, created the ability to articulate. And he's saying, no, I can't speak, Lord. He's talking to God saying, I can't talk. He's arguing with God saying, I can't speak. I can't make a good enough argument to persuade the Hebrews, to persuade my brethren, or to persuade Pharaoh. And he's debating with God. He's debating with God that he can't do what God is asking. How messed up can we get in our thinking? We will argue with God about our inability to speak to other people and not realize, hey, you're arguing with God? And you can't go out in your life and do what God has commanded you to share the good news of what the Lord has done for you? You say you don't have the persuasive powers to boldly stand for the truth, boldly do what I've told you to do, but you're arguing with God. This flesh is a fickle thing, isn't it? We can get so lifted up in pride sometimes and try to serve God based off of what we think the remedy or the plan should be, and we mess it up that way. But then we can also see our problems. I mean, and we have real problems. This was quite possibly a real problem that Moses had. Maybe he had some sort of speech difficulty. We have real problems. We suffer real tragedies in life. We go through real trauma. We have weaknesses and we have deficiencies. But I want you to understand that God is greater than any deficiency that we have, either real or perceived, or however big we blow it up in our mind. God is greater. And I tell you, my friends, when we get down to the root of this, when we say that we know better than God, God, you just don't understand the obstacles that we have in our lives, that is ultimately known as disobedience to God. Lord, help us to see it for that. We can come up with all sorts of things in our minds. And there's individuals, and perhaps we find ourselves there in varying degrees, that allow the challenges of life to define us rather than what God has done to deliver us and to save us and to strengthen us to endure or overcome whatever those challenges are. Moses says, I can't do it. And maybe some of that was born out of insecurity. Remember Moses, as I said before, I could see him in that desert saying, you know, I have failed. I had messed up. I had this opportunity. I had this platform. I had this position to bring freedom to my brethren. And I acted foolishly and I messed up. And now I have failed. Maybe there was some sort of insecurity in that. You know, I read one time that 95% of people struggle with insecurities. I was thinking about that. Well, it's probably 100%, and the last 5% just do a good job about faking it that they don't have some kind of insecurities. But, you know, and a lot of things can cause insecurities in people's lives. You see, with Moses here, the failure that came, he thought he was going to be the white knight to deliver his brethren. He fails. He has to flee Egypt. He's a fugitive out in the wilderness, and some 40 years has passed, and now he's an old man. He's elderly, and he's saying, nope, I can't do it, God. Experiences can do that. Sometimes, you know, and the field that I work in and Brother David works in and others here in the church work in, we see young people that just go through just terrible experiences in their childhood. It breaks your heart, some of the things young people go home to. And those things can impact your feelings of security, and insecurity is a terrible thing. Change causes insecurity. We live in a time of great change, don't we? A transient culture that we live in. People are up and moving, and jobs change. The economy changes. Situations around us in our lives change. That can contribute to insecurity. Crisis these last 3 years. People are frayed at the edges because coming out of the pandemic and just the division that we have in our world. And it impacts, it grinds and it grates and it wears people down. And it can impact us. It impacts our dispositions. We become like Moses. Moses was being argumentative with God. I detect some sarcasm in there. I detect some anger and some bitterness in there. But I want you to know, whatever insecurities you have, God is greater than any difficulties that we have in our lives. People get insecure about the way that they speak. And that's a common insecurity that Moses had. The fear of death, as Brother David, I think, referenced that last Sunday, is one of the greatest fears that people have. Well, you know, one of the other greatest fears that people have is speaking in front of others. Speaking publicly, it causes insecurity. And even at the very best, you're insecure and you're nervous about it. But people are insecure about their looks. We live in a society today where so much value is placed on appearances, and we have social media that just, we compare ourselves to some staged photo, some staged event, some staged activity that an individual is going through, and we get insecure about ourselves, the way that we look, the vacations that we take, the cars that we drive, the homes that we live in, and it all creates this fear, disequilibrium, and we get as Moses, and essentially Moses was disobedient because he thought his problem was bigger than the power of God. Lord, help us to break out of that cycle. And here's the answer. And I tell you, this made me rejoice. About a week and a half ago, as I was pondering this next verse, this made me rejoice in light of the broken world that we live in and the insufficiencies and the insecurities I have. This made me rejoice in verse 11. And this speaks about the sovereign God that we serve. The Lord answers Moses' question. Moses essentially says, no, I can't do this. You haven't fixed anything since we've been here. I can't do it. Notice the question that the Lord says unto Moses. Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now I want you to understand what this isn't saying here, because I've heard people misapply this. Some people have blamed God for the deficiencies, for the disabilities, for the difficulties that other people that they have or other people have. I remember one time hearing a minister of the gospel speak to an individual that had a disability, and they said, "Well, God made you that way." That's not what the verse is saying. That's not what it's saying. You know, if I have an insufficiency, if I have a limitation, it's not because God gave it to me. We have disabilities, we have insecurities, we have limitations, we have sickness, we have difficulties because we live in a sin-cursed earth. We live in a broken world. It's not saying that the Lord made individuals blind. He wasn't just in his sovereign decree saying, well I'm going to make this person have a mental disability. Or I'm going to make her blind. Or I'm going to make that individual have a congenital defect. That's not God. We should never blame God for the sinful effects of this world. But what it is saying here is that our Lord, He is the Lord over all here in this world. And whatever limitation, whatever disability I have, that God is still ruling. And His grace is sufficient for whatever trial I have in this world. Even though I have limitations, even though I am not sufficient, I have a God that's ruling over my life. And that's what he's saying to Moses here. He's saying to Moses, it doesn't matter what your speech is. It doesn't matter if you're slow of speech or slow of tongue. I am able to bless and I am able to overcome whatever difficulties you have in your life. Isn't that wonderful to think about? The trauma that we go through in our lives. Some of the horrendous situations that you have gone through in your life. God didn't cause that to happen. It's just we live in this sinful, broken world. But His grace is sufficient to get you through that trial. His grace is sufficient to bring you out of it or give you what you need to make it through that difficulty. That's what He's saying here to Moses. It says, the Lord. And notice when you read this in verse 11, it's capital L-O-R-D, which goes back to the title that he said that Moses was to tell them. He's saying here essentially that I am that I am. I'm the one that's made man's mouth. He says, who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? He's saying here, I can overcome it all. Don't allow the limitations of your life to cause you to become bitter and disobedient to what God has called you to do. We make so many excuses in why we can't serve God. Yeah. I'm not very eloquent. That one's used a lot of times. Well, you know, we've been, as God's people, we've been called to, well, we're to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're to go forth and share what Christ did on the cross. We're to encourage one another in the things of the Lord. We're to utilize the Word of God when we have opportunity to lovingly correct others, to instruct others in the things of righteousness. And so many times we'll just say, well, I'm not articulate enough. Well, that was what Moses was doing here. He was making excuses. We can make excuses as to why we can't come and serve the Lord, why we can't devote our resources and our times and our energies to the things of God. But I want you to understand that there are no limitations with God. I'm limited. I'm limited. I can empathize with not being this great eloquent speaker. I can empathize with that. But God's able to bless and overcome. God's able to bless. Some people use their lack of education as an excuse. Well, I'm just not as educated as so-and-so, so I'm just going to sit here and not share the things of God with other people. No, my friends, God is able to bless when we in faith go forward trusting that He's able to overcome all the deficiencies that we have. Because we're all deficient when it comes down to it. We all have our limitations. Lord, help us not to take that attitude that we think our problems are bigger than the God that we serve. I'll tell you, regardless of whatever limitations we have, God is able to bless. He's saying here essentially in verse 11 to Moses, I am the Creator God. I make no mistakes. My grace is sufficient for whatever need it is you have. Now he says to Moses in verse 12, he says, now therefore go. That made me rejoice when I was thinking about that the other day. That made me rejoice. Our God is able to overcome whatever obstacles there are before us, whatever past hurts we have, whatever disabilities we have, God is able to bless. God has got us covered. He says in verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Lord very clearly tells Moses, you go, and I'll be your mouth. I'll give you what you need to say. I'll teach you what you need to say. Well, that does away with all of the weaknesses. And you would like to read here that Moses finally got it. He had his V8 moment and smacked himself on the forehead and was ready to serve God. But was that the case? No. And what we come to here with the second thing, we see that we can indeed be disobedient by emphasizing our weaknesses over the grace and the power of God. We see here as we go into verse 13 that we can also, in that cycle that we get in of seeing our problems greater than God, we can oftentimes seek the wrong solution for our problems. Let's look at this. Verse 13, this is Moses speaking now. God said, I'm going to be with your mouth. I'm going to teach you what to say. How does Moses respond to that? Well, he continues and really doubles down and essentially says, I'm not going to do it. He says, verse 13, he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He was saying there, no, you send somebody else. You send somebody more gifted than I am. You send somebody more articulate than I am. I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine? We look at that and perhaps that shocks us that we see this defiance in the face of God. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we do this very thing on a regular basis because we react in the flesh rather than in faith. He's saying here, no, find somebody else to do it, God. Find somebody better than me. You know, you can be prideful and disobedient, but you can also be in the doldrums and thinking extremely low of yourself and be disobedient as well. You ever known somebody that around my house, we call them pity parties. You know, not to be dismissive, but we can wallow in our weakness to the point where we become bitter, we become disobedient, and we can become so arrogant in our weaknesses that we say, no, God, just send somebody else. We can tell God no. Now, we go on, and we see in verse 14, he says this, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The Lord was not happy with this response. And I want you to understand, when we in our flesh, when we make our problems bigger than God and fail to obey Him, fail to heed His word, He ain't happy about it. You say, God is getting angry? His anger is kindled against Moses? You know, I just can't in my mind conceive God getting angry. Yes, God gets angry. And I want to tell you, the anger of God is always righteous. You know, we get angry and we get out of control. We say things we shouldn't say or do things that we shouldn't do. But the anger of God is always justifiable and it's always right. And He was angry at Moses because Moses would not trust in Him to give him the words that he needed to say, to give him the strength to do what he needed to do, and his people leaving out of Egypt and going towards the promised land. He was angry. And I'm thankful that God gets angry, and I'm thankful that we serve also serve a God of grace and mercy and long-suffering. You know, the attributes of God, the wrath of God is one of his attributes. But I'm thankful that the grace of God and the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God are also attributes that he has, or we would indeed be in trouble. God is not pleased when we focus on our weaknesses and fail to trust that he's able to bless us to endure and overcome those difficulties in our lives. But what does he do here? Our God is a God of grace, isn't he? I'm thankful that he's a God of grace. I want to see two sides of this coin here. God is gracious. God would have been just as right, just as just to say, well, okay, Moses, go on back out here with this flock and I'll do something else. But he didn't. I'm thankful that God is long-suffering towards us. And notice what he says here. It says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? He says, you've got a brother. His name's Aaron. He says, I know that he can speak well. And then notice this, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Now, was it merely a coincidence that Aaron was going out to seek Moses? Now, where was Moses? Was Moses just across the state line from Egypt into the wilderness? No, we see that he is far out in this wilderness. He's on the backside of the desert. But now we have his brother Aaron seeking him out some 40 years afterwards. Was that an accident? Was that a coincidence? I'm thankful that God is a God of mercy. The Lord says, I know Aaron can speak well, and he's coming forth to meet you. It's been some 40 years, based off of what we have in Scripture, that he's been out of Egypt and perhaps hasn't seen his brother in some 40 years. And I want you to understand this. Long before this conversation happened between the Lord and Moses, God had put in the heart of Aaron to go find Moses. God's amazing. He knows what we need better than we do ourselves. Our God is a God of grace. He's long-suffering towards us. Lord, help us to trust him to have the solution to the challenges and problems that we have. Lord, bless us to see that he is able to empower us for those things that he's called us to do. You know, again, Moses, nobody knew where Moses was. Moses was a fugitive. How did Aaron know? Well, it's because we serve a sovereign God. It's on his throne. What a wonderful blessing. That's a wonderful example there. You know, so why, as people ask sometimes, well, why do we pray unto God? Well, we pray unto the one that's sovereign and knows what we stand in need of. He hears our prayers. And we see that here comes Aaron. He says, Aaron, I know Aaron can speak well. He's coming forth to meet you. And he says this, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. God made provision. God made this accommodation for Moses. But I want you to think about this, though. And as you study on, as you read in the book of Exodus, it's interesting to see how things play out with Aaron. What we see is that Aaron does come. He's glad to see Moses, and we see that there for a time. Aaron is the mouthpiece of Moses. Moses, God speaks to Moses, and Moses speaks to Aaron, and Aaron is the mouthpiece. But I want to ask you this question. If you've read and studied through the book of Exodus, was everything roses and clouds and smooth sailing with Aaron being the mouthpiece of Moses? Did it all go well for the children of Israel? Because Aaron was that mouthpiece that was put into place. No, it didn't. Now I want us to think, look at a couple things, and I'll say this, that what we see, there's a couple of instances where Aaron is problematic here in the interactions between God and his people and Moses. And we see the first one come up that in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses had gone up to the mount to get the law from God, to get the commandments from God. What happened during that time? Let's just look real quick. Exodus chapter 32, It says this, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together up unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man which that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what become of him." He was up on that mountain for some 40 days, and they were starting to get worried. They, first of all, their perspective was off because they said, this Moses, this man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. They went to Aaron and they said to Aaron, you go and you make us some gods. Well, what does Aaron do? Well, Aaron capitulates and it becomes a mess. Just to put things in Brother Michael's terms, it becomes a mess because notice verse 2. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, bring them unto me. You know, these people got into the ear of Aaron and quickly persuaded him to revert back to idolatry, to revert back what they had left in Egypt. And it just seems like it was just like this that he capitulated and took the lead on this and orchestrated this molten calf that was made where they worshiped. Verse 4, he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I want to say this, when we don't trust in God and we deviate from what God has commanded us to do, it's going to be problematic. And all of a sudden, we see in verse 7, this man that was slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, when he was angry, he articulated his point well, where everybody got that point. Verse 7, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And in verse 19, it says, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the table out of his hands and broke them beneath the mountain. He was so angry, he threw the tablets down and broke them. And notice here, his anger is shown even greater. It says he took the calf which he had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, notice this, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon thee? I wonder, as Moses and his anger and breaking up that calf, that molten calf, and grinding it into powder and seeing how quickly the people of God went back into idolatry as he was speaking to Aaron, I just wonder if he thought in of himself, boy, I wish I would have trusted God to give me the strength to do this before this accommodation was made. And let me say this, I think sometimes God will give us what we think that we need to teach us a lesson. The children of Israel, remember when all of the peoples around them wanted a king? Israel never had a king, but they wanted a king. They were warned against what was going to happen if they had a king. They said, you know, well, we don't care, we still want a king. God gave them a king, and it turned out to be a nightmare, didn't it? You know, sometimes God will allow us to, will suffer us, if you will, to have the solution that we think that we need to a problem. And in the midst of going through that, we see that we would have been far better off just waiting for God to give us the solution. Does that make sense? Moses, I wonder if he saw this and he said, well, this was my solution to God, and look at what has happened. The people had turned away from God. And then it happened another time in Numbers chapter 12 where we have Miriam, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1, Miriam and Aaron speaking out against Moses. Now they are challenging Moses. This was problematic. Now, I'm thankful, again, that God is long-suffering. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. But I want you to understand, sometimes God will allow us to have what we think is the solution to our problem, really, I believe, is as an object lesson that we would be far better off to trust in Him and trust in His strength to bring us through whatever challenge we're going through. They had turned against God. They had made this molten calf. Numbers chapter 12, we see that Aaron was one of the people that turned the people against Moses. And what's the problem? We give God our solution, and God gives us what we want. He gives us our king. He gives us our mouthpiece. He gives us that thing that we desire, and it becomes a huge problem. I want to tell you, I've been guilty of getting out before God and thinking that direction X was the solution that needed to happen to my problem, when I should have waited for God to give me direction Y, and I go direction X, and it becomes a bigger mess. It becomes a bigger challenge. It becomes a bigger problem. Lord, help us to be a people of faith, to wait on God and trust Him to give us the right solution that we need for whatever He calls us to do, whatever challenge we're going through, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, because our God is able. Because going back to Exodus chapter 4, He says in verse 12, Lord says to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth." How much, we can speculate on it, and it's just speculation, but could not some of these difficulties have been avoided if Moses would have just been obedient unto God and said, "Yes, Lord, I trust that You will be my mouth. I trust that You will teach me what you would have me to say." Sometimes God gives us those things that we think that we need. I'm thankful again that God is a God of mercy, because His grace was able to overcome. His people went to the promised land because our God keeps His promises. Our God, as we've already seen, is immutable. But I want you to see there was a lot of challenges, a lot of problems along the way, because Moses thought that he knew better than God. I'll submit unto you, when we do an inventory of the problems that we have in our lives, there's a lot of them that are of our own making, aren't they? I know that I've created far more problems. I'll get mad with people, in my secular work, my vocational work. I'll get put out with people because they may not deliver on something that they promised that they would deliver on, or they may not be diligent or work hard enough or not work as hard as I think that they should work. I can get put out with people. But I want to tell you, when it comes down to it, the greatest problem that I have is not other people, but myself. And it's because I've tried to seek my own solutions, or try to tell God what I think the solutions of my problems should be, rather than just trusting in Him. Our God is able to bless us. I want you to understand, because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us. The grace of God is all sufficient for whatever trials we have, whatever difficulties we have. But I want you to understand, this flesh wants to try to solve the problem apart from God. Be it the difficulties of life, be it what we perceive our strengths and our abilities to be. When we fail to wait and trust in God, when we fail to see God and His power and His glory and His might, and we try to seek our own solutions, it's always going to be problematic. And I'm thankful with God. There's no problems with God. There's problems with us. And it's interesting when you look at this. Okay, they go forth. Moses goes, and Aaron is his mouthpiece. God allows him this, and really, I want you to understand that wasn't a capitulation by God. It was, if anything, it was probably an accommodation. But because of that, there's these challenges, these difficulties. It's interesting to me, when I look at the book of Exodus, you see Aaron is the mouthpiece, but as time goes on, Aaron fades to the background, doesn't he? We see Moses, as he's going and doing what God has commanded him to do, as he's going to Pharaoh, we see that as Scripture unfolds in the book of Exodus, we see it's Moses. And I believe that as Moses went on, he trusted in God. And you get to that, the crescendo there in the book of Exodus when the Red Sea is parted. Who's there with the staff in his hand? Who's there listening to God? It's Moses, and God blesses and delivers in an incredible way. Lord, help us to look at all of our problems through the lens of God's word, through the lens of faith that says God is able to bless. He may not deliver me from whatever trial I'm going through, but he's able to give me the strength to make it through. You know, that my solution is not the optimal solution. As far as worldly solutions, it might be the best choice amongst many, but God knows what we stand in need of. He's the sovereign, omnipotent God over all. He's the one that spoke from the burning bush. He's the one that has saved us from our sins. He's the one that created our mouth. He is able to bless us. Lord, help us to be a people of faith. Yes, sir. I think for the first time in history, you took the songbook with you. We have this running thing. We abscond with songbooks, and we'll have four or five up here sometimes. But I want to encourage you, if you believe that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died for you, if you see him as the sovereign God, as the sovereign ruler over all, I encourage you to take up your cross and